April 25, 2019, it's the Wife from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Brother Matt up in the Northwest, retracing the steps of the Lewis and Clark expedition. Sacagawea and what was his name? Tyler. I mean, there was other people too. Those. It reminds me of like when I made this record in the 90s. Oh, your solo record. There's like 48 other people on it. Anyway, I'm not man alone here, even though Brother Matt's out exploring. I'm in my pad in Pedro, but through the miracle of Skype and the engineers in Estonia, I got Morgan Gear with me. Where you call using the Skype from, Morgan?
I'm in Asheville, North Carolina.
Asheville. I'm supposed to be out there in the fall. I haven't played there in a while.
You'll be welcome.
The west part, yeah, by the Smokies, right? It's kind of hairy getting over there from Knoxville, Tennessee, when you come over. It can be like some dangerous parts of the road. I mean, they've gotten it better, but I remember, I don't know, maybe it was something from the Depression days or something, but some weird routing, and so there was some dangerous road. We started with John Coltrane doing Lazy Bird, and then Drunken Prayer with Hey Ho, Nobody Home. And Morgan, tell me your earliest musical recollection.
That'd be probably my grandfather. He played jazz, Dixieland jazz. So my earliest memories are him and probably my mom. She was a folk singer. They would sit around listening to music and playing the music. He had an old Victrola we would listen to. Like I said, my mom was a folk singer, and so it was lots of Dylan and the Stones and stuff like that. So it's family members.
So when you say Dixieland, he was a listener or a player. What did he play?
He's a player. He played just about everything. He played clarinet was his main instrument, but he played banjo and trombone and saxophone.
I'm wondering what was in the pad there, because maybe you picked up some of these instruments or something?
I don't know. I guess I had an appreciation for that kind of structure, okay. That kind of song structure, and this kind of blending of genres and instruments, and just kind of throwing it all into the pot, kind of. You know what I mean?
Okay, but there was instruments in the pads.
Oh yeah, yeah, everywhere.
So yeah, and your ma singing. I mean, of course, the voice is an instrument too. I'm wondering, were you motivated, or did they, you know, want to bring you into the thing, you know, say, start learning on this?
No, not really. I mean, it's always been an honorable pursuit in my family. So, it was a way of, you know, people being proud of you. You know, it's like I wanted to do something to make them proud, and it kind of came naturally anyway. So it's kind of the obvious thing to just do, but it was never pushed. It was just always around.
Were you really little? Was it before school?
Yeah. Yeah. My first memory is probably my very first memory is sitting at my mom's footsteps while she played folk music on Louisiana Public Television. I was playing in a sandbox.
Okay. So, I'm wondering what got you into, like, being part, not just a listener, part, you know, playing. Do you remember picking up?
I was in choir for forever.
Okay, and, so in school. Okay.
Yeah, it's in school, yeah, for
did
playing.
Did you do the band thing? Choir, right? And then later on they've got, like, the marching band or the jazz band or some stuff like that.
Well, I remember one Christmas they brought in an electric bass to play along with us. I think it was Sleigh Ride, and it just floored me how powerful it was. It just moved the stage. I could feel it in my feet.
You never heard electric bass before? Okay.
Not up close like that, and not in a participatory kind of situation. And that night, I remember going home from the concert and telling my mom I wanted an electric bass.
Whoa!
It took a while to get one.
Did you know what it was when you heard it? Did somebody tell you? Did you know?
I
asked Morgan because I fucking didn't know what it was. I didn't know they had bigger strings. I didn't know that the bass meant bottom, you know, lower. I had no idea.
Right. I don't think I really thought about that either. I was just more into the power of the thing.
Mm-hmm. See, my first gigs, it's arena rock, so the bass was fucking really neutered and gelded. You know, it was in these sports arenas and shit. You know, and you could see in the pictures, it looked kind of like a guitar, you know, but four strings. Right. I didn't know the strings were bigger, though. You know, you were so far away. It was that club. Yeah. I didn't know about clubs till the movement. So I'm curious. Okay, so there's an electric bass and a choir thing. What about records? Do you remember the first record you bought yourself?
With my own money, I think it was Queen, The Game.
Okay.
Or Tattoo You by the Stones.
And do you remember the first gig you went and saw?
I snuck in to see the Go-Go's with The Fix.
Okay. And, so kind of big pass. Yeah. Not really close.
I was underage, yeah. And I got really close. And then I would go to whatever came to town. So Asheville in those days, there wasn't a whole lot coming to town like there is now. So it was whatever. Like, I remember Three Dog Night came, so I went and saw them. Stevie Ray Vaughan came, so I went and saw him. The Go-Go's. You know, it wasn't because I was necessarily into the bands. It was just I wanted to see any band
at
all.
Yeah, I think what they call it, the tertiary, or even beyond tertiary. Like, there's certain kinds of routing, right? And mm-hmm. I think for a long time, Asheville, you know. So, like, it's the same thing in SoCal. I mean, you know, there's a lot of towns here, and a lot of people didn't play in Pedro in the 50s. They still don't play in Pedro. So I know what you mean. So you play, you go to see whatever's there, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do know a homebrew scene. Is it Mr. Warren Haynes? Is he from there? Yeah.
I used to work for his brother at a record store here called Almost Blue.
So there must have been some kind of local kind of thing.
There was. I didn't really figure that out till I got a little older, like in the high school.
Yeah.
And then a little older from then when I started getting into more like current stuff, like punk rock stuff. And I knew a lot of people had moved here to go to school from Athens, Georgia. So I picked up on a lot of what they were listening to. My mom worked at a local little college here, Warren Wilson College, and so as a middle school and high schooler, I would hang out with the college students because I played drums, and they would hear me playing the drums. And
okay,
drummers are always hard to find.
Okay, but that now I'm a little confused because okay, you heard that electric bass, you asked your parents for a bass. I didn't follow through on that. Did they get you a bass?
No.
Oh, okay.
They never did.
So you ended up on drums instead?
Yeah. Because okay. my uncle is a drummer, and so he kind of handed me down a few pieces.
Oh.
And I would just play whatever was around, you know.
Sure. Sure. Was your parents into that?
For the most part.
Okay.
You know, it keeps you off the streets.
Yeah. You know, Elvin Jones talks about playing the fucking pots and pans and shit. So,
yeah.
You know, everybody's got to start somewhere, yeah. But he actually gave you some parts of a trap kit?
Yeah, just like there was a marching drum, and I kind of pieced it together from there and finally bought my own set after that. Mainly because it was easier to get a gig as a drummer because there weren't any around, really. So even as kind of terrible as I was and am, I could still get gigs. And as a 16-year-old, that's pretty heady stuff to be playing with college students.
Yeah. Well, the bass was kind of like that, too, because no one wanted to rock it, you know, so there's more opportunity. Because older days, there was much more hierarchy, I think. And so there was, like, kind of jobs you didn't want to take, right? They were kind of janitor level, and I think that's the way drums and bass was considered. You know, so we've been getting revenge ever fucking since, right? Look, I'm going to play this song here, Take This Hammer, okay? Take this hammer.
cannibalistic, animatronic. You really turned it sadistic. When Noah's Ark is born, the animals must take control of his body. He is possessed. No one is left behind. The ship sinks under the weight of the boat. Egocentric, dogmatic, altruistic, humanitarian, and sadistic. We know it's all good for the animals must take control of his spirit. He is enlightened. No one is left behind. The ship sails with a glimmer of hope. Thank you.
at midnight, and I heard on the late world news that the world is in a bind. If you ain't half deaf or blind, you can't help but see that the new world orders got you in a bind. So I went to the window and I looked down on the town, and I looked out at the people wearing a frown, and I looked down at the people heads bowed down. They just don't know we're on the brink of destruction, orchestrated by the new world order. You may receive your instruction, dumb yourself down, or head south of the border. I got a feeling I can't lose. We're gonna be all crying the blues, according to a roundup of late world news. Yeah, the world is hanging by a string. America and Korea just itching to light the fuse. The fuse our degenerate-in-chief, clown prince, god emperor, has already lit, and there's not a thing you can do about his fascination with nuclear annihilation. Meanwhile, he gives billions away to corporations and the already wealthy, while telling poor people he is doing exactly the opposite. He endorses pedophiles, praises brutal dictators, and defends neo-Nazis. God Emperor, wearing the perfect puppet head, orangutan diaper of malignant rage. While the New World Order nails down the lid and forces you off the grid, dumb yourself down or head south of the border. Don't you wake up at midnight and hear on the late world news, we're gonna be all crying the blues. The law tried to drop a bomb on Kim.com, but the FBI will never, never bring him down. It's a mega.com world giving birth to megaton bombs. Kim.com will elude extradition like Snowden and Assange. Freedom of information, it ain't no crime. The New World Order got you in a bind. If you ain't half deaf or blind, can't you see people that you're sitting and watching the destruction of mankind? Yeah, the destruction of mankind. 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 Yeah, the destruction of mankind.
country was founded, each generation of Americans has been summoned to give testimony to its national loyalty.
take a walk, gonna take my time through the weeds and dandelions, down a trail that's well and worn, up a rope that's frayed and torn. I keep a neat and tidy grave. I taught the wildflowers to behave. Limbo lower, I'm a slave to that neat and tidy grave. I know you see the things I do. Well, I know you do. Gonna take a walk, gonna see my girl. Run my hands through devil curls. Walk on water, dive for pearls. Gonna take a walk, gonna see my girl. Kick the dirt on my way home. So goodbye until tomorrow. Take a walk, gonna take it slow. Gonna take a walk. Gonna take a walk. Gonna take a walk.
Walk for Pedro show. We heard Take the Hammer, Drunken Prayer, which is Parking Gear approach. A mini beast out of Providence. It's Peter from Mission of Burma with Handed. Red Mass out of Montreal with Zoo Face. Hi, Reeve. He's living in Glasgow these days. The Hangman. Tad Falco. Living in Vienna, but soon to be coming here, U.S. tour. In the month of May. New World Order Blues. Pull Anchor out of, well, they're up in Medford now, or Ashland, Southern Oregon. Empty Gesture. No, To the Moon, an empty jester from Lauren. Don't know where that cat's from. Maybe Brooklyn. Guy by Voices, Dayton, Ohio. I know that. Class Clown spots a UFO. Bob Pollard, he just made his 102nd album, right? He's going to come play the Roxy in West Hollywood on New Year's Eve and do 100 songs. I mean, the guy is incredible. Out of Milano, Italy, after that, Arabia Saudata, Filmes de Bollywood, and then finally, Take a Walk from Drunken Prayer. Okay, so you're playing as 16-year-old and other people with college guys doing drums, but you start moving on to other instruments.
Yeah, whatever was needed. I just kind of got better on guitar.
Right.
And it just kind of evolved that way.
Remember the first guitar you got?
Yeah, it was called Electra. I think they're made in Japan, but I found it at a flea market, and it was in pieces, but still in its package. I just had to kind of bolt it all together. It's kind of like a Les Paul, I guess, but it was great. I wish I still had it. It cost me probably $50.
And it was electric. Okay, so you had an amp, right? Or you got an amp?
Yeah, I had one of those little Gorilla.
Oh, yeah.
Gorilla amp. Yeah, with the tube, I'd like it could get super distorted.
Without trying. Yeah, I had a little Prac one for bass, and it blew it up. But I know what you mean. Econo. But hey, you know, come on. Everybody's got to start somewhere and stuff like that. I think my first bass amp was, drums, guitar, did you ever get around to playing the bass?
Only in the past. Probably just a few years as far as playing with other people. I picked up when I was living in Portland, Oregon for a long time and had some regular bass playing gigs, like an every Monday kind of thing when you're not on tour.
Okay.
So and those were like country bands.
Yeah, okay.
But then I play a lot of bass on my records.
I was going to say, for your own pride, you probably alone it.
Yeah.
So, okay. You get on guitar. Are you still playing with people older than you?
After I started playing guitar, I started playing more and more with people my own age, okay. I think. I did sit in with some, like, older guys in their rockabilly bands, but that was mainly for the thrill of just going into bars and playing at all as someone who's underage. But after that, yeah, it started getting a little more more current after that with more people my own age.
And what about the touring thing? Did you get into that?
Not much. Not until later on when we went down to South by Southwest with off this Bloodshot single we had years ago. There wasn't really a whole reason to. We would go up to New York every once in a while and go down to Atlanta. So these like 3 and 4 day jaunts back and forth. Asheville's pretty centrally located.
Yeah, yeah. You got to watch the weather, though. You can't travel all the time. I was talking to somebody last week, whoever the guest was. My memory. But I was thinking, you look at a map, you look at New England. Wow, look how close the gigs are. Because, here in California,
Oh, man.
And you were in Portland, so you know. I mean, there's this little strip along I-5, but then people, why are you always playing Boise? Why are you always playing Salt Lake City? Yeah, look on a map.
Yeah, it's tough.
There's some big stretches, yeah. So you didn't do that. You did these little regional jumps and stuff like that. What about going in the studio? Do you remember the first time you went to the studio?
Yeah, it was that was the same time when I was in high school living at this college. I played drums for this guy from Africa had written this kind of traditional folk song that he wanted drums put to. So we went into a little local studio and did that. It was fascinating for me.
Like African drums.
No, he wanted like rock drums on it.
Okay.
And so I could do that.
over what? He had like a thing from Africa? Because, of course, there's a big connection between, rock and roll and blues in Africa. But when I hear King Sunny a Day, I mean, there's a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. This was more it was more like a folk song set with heavy drums.
Okay.
Sung about it was, I'm not sure what it was for. I was like 15 or 16. I didn't really think about why anything was going on.
Well, I asked because, man, it was scary for me when I first went in the studio, and still even there's this thing called red light fever, like you can practice with the guy, it's all good, and then when the red light comes on, you start clamming like a motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm pretty well acquainted with that.
Yeah, it's something you'd like to grow out of.
Right.
But never seems to fucking happen. It's always pants shitter time, like, oh my God, all these changes, I forgot them all. Yeah.
I'm an oaf.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. I'm trying to bring this up kind of to the. Because this Portland thing, this is in your 20s, probably, right?
Yeah, this was a little bit after that. That was probably in my 30s.
Okay. And because you want to be a working musician.
Yeah, well, I kind of roamed around a little bit. Growing up, we never really lived in one place too very long. And I wanted to go to a place that had lots of creative types hanging around that I could afford. So I spent a little bit of time in Austin and a little bit of time in Nashville. And my dad lives in California, so kind of aimless, I just went out there to Sonoma County.
Sonoma, north. Okay.
Yes.
It's actually in the middle. You know, when they say NorCal here, they're actually talking, because there's a whole bunch of California north of the city.
It's
like, it's like 300 miles or 400 miles. Oh, yeah, Northern California. Yeah. That's more like Eureka or Wairika.
Yeah, Wairika. Okay.
So you were just fishing then. Okay, makes sense.
And I was working at a bookstore up there. I consequently met Tom Waits at that time, which is kind of a different story. But one of my friends at the bookstore was coming up to Portland, and he asked if I wanted to just come and visit, and did, and kind of fell in love with the place. It was affordable at the time.
Yeah, they got a big bookstore.
Yeah, this Powell's.
<All right. laughs> But in the old days, I got to tell you, Morgan, in the old days, there was only the Satirica. I know there's 20 clubs, 30 clubs now, but, man, there was days where there was one club
in
Portland. It really changed a lot. Yeah, it did.
It's changed it since I've been here. I mean, everybody, I guess, wants to close the door behind them.
Yeah, but, that's what they want.
But I couldn't afford to live there.
They want
to
slam it. Oh, yeah, yeah, that all changed.
Yeah, I get back about every, you know, touring. I still get back there about two or three times a year and kind of get my fix.
Yeah, yeah. But you end up back in Asheville.
Yeah, this is where most of my family's in the southeast around Alabama and New Orleans. Then Asheville is just the place I lived kind of the longest, so it's the place that felt most like home, other than Portland.
This is where the drunken prayer,
yeah, that started in Portland.
Oh, it actually okay.
Yeah, and it's as much of a solo thing as it is a band thing. Now I tour solo and then have pockets of bands around the country, to where I've got some folks in Austin, some more in Albuquerque, and then back in Portland, and we'll play regionally, and then I'll tour solo back to another pocket of bands.
But is it like Damo?
What do you mean?
Well, Damo travels, you know, no band, right? And he just gets together with guys, but he kind of, you know, no two. It's not like Chuck Berry where there's like this canon that you learn, right? He just starts jamming. You just start jamming to his voice. Yeah, I saw the guy, Omar and the Mars La Volta guys do it. It was pretty in Australia once. It's amazing. You know, every gig's different, right? Because nobody knows what's up.
Well, there's a lot of electricity there when you don't know what you're doing. And as long as the chemistry is good, some pretty amazing things can come out of that. The way I do it is somewhere in between, and that I've got like a set of probably 25 songs, and we just figure out which ones we, you know, pick half of those and do them and rehearse them and go out and play three or four gigs, and then I move on.
Okay.
So there's a whole lot of not sure where you're at with that situation too, and I really like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the same old, it's not the rubber stamp cookie cutter Xerox machine for sure.
No, it keeps it interesting for me.
It kind of balls out.
Yeah,
I'm into it.
It is. It's scary.
We're done with the first hour. April 25, 2019 edition. Wap Pedro Show special guest Morgan Gear. Hold tight, people, for hour two. April 25, 2019. It's the second hour. Wap for Pedro Show.
I saw a little beam of sunlight steal across a purple sky and bent down to kiss a rosebud. It made me wanna cry to think that I had a part of nature's plan. Oh, there's nothing that stands out more than the selfishness in man. Little children painting pictures of the birds and apple trees. Oh, why can't the grown-up people show the faith of one of these? And to think those tiny fingers might become a killer's hands. Oh, there's nothing that stands out more than the selfishness in man. Why can't we see a glory and the useless chance of pain? Love could lead to wonder.
Walk for Pedro show. We started the second hour off with Drunken Prayer doing the selfishness in man. And then Natural Ways. That's got a great guitar lady just played a couple weeks ago with Mike Baghetta. And Ava Mendoza from Orange County, but living in Brooklyn now. That's expensive, I hear. Draw the line. Stefano Pelia with he's my El Sonio de Marinaio bandmate, and I spelled his fucking name wrong. Fratel Ste. E Copa. Scusi. And he's got a new solo thing, motivated by Dante's Commedia. Ingiram Imus Nocta. And then Marco Serrato, Sevilla, España, right? Francesco, Cavallino, he's got an Italiano drummer. And Bestimia. Dan Jones out of Kansas City. He lived a long time in Portland. No, he lived in Eugene. Yeah, college. And then he moved back to Kansas City. And I think he got a real good deal. And finally, Science from Drunken Prayer. So tell me how the Drunken Prayer thing got going.
I started playing, I just moved to Portland, and the only gigs I could get were these Sunday afternoon and these kind of dive bars, I knew a bunch of old gospel songs, and I started just playing them in kind of a rock band format, and people liked it a lot, and it was fun playing kind of church music on Sundays in these bars. There's one place, the Queen of Hearts, it's not there anymore, kind of a biker place. It was just a lot of fun, and the name Drunken Prayer seemed to fit, and since then I've just kind of stuck with it. Now it's more of a veil that I kind of sing behind when I'm playing solo.
Yeah, because it was listening to this new album, you know, the gospel element was kind of missing a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's evolved.
Well, you know, everything, you know, a launch pad, a diving board. You know, you can't tell how the guy's going to hit the water just because how he leaves the diving board, right? So,
right.
What's that band, Ministry? God, they used to wear new wave clothes and stuff. And I think the guy and his writer, big old, like, crack pipe torch and Depends, like, is on the rider.
Good Lord.
Yeah, I know. So, okay. So, you were doing these, so it was Man Alone? And, you said you put it to a rock band setting.
Yeah, I had a keyboard, bass, and light drums and stuff, and we'd be in the corner of these bars playing, Just a Closer Walk with Thee, and a lot of my songs back then had a little more of a gospel bent to them, too. I mean, they all have kind of a big picture kind of outlook to stuff lyrically, I think, but, and they were a lot more overtly kind of gospel back then, and it was an easy way to get gigs and keep gigs in a competitive kind of atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, people start asking about that when they want to get into this racket. You know, Mike, it just isn't sustainable. Yeah. You know, I don't know what to say, you know, you know, right? The altruistic, you know, just keep pushing, you know, keep believing.
That's such weird advice.
But then there's the other advice, like, you have to develop a brand. And, you know, it's like, well, okay. Yeah. Boy, I'm all excited about that. You know what I mean? The whole fucking thing. Now, you know, it's trippy. I mean, you fell in love with music, right?
Right.
Because, see, I got into it just to be with my friend. See, and then I lost him, and I just kept going. But it's trippy, the motivations, like you're talking about. How do you keep a gig? Well, you find a place, you find a kind of motif, a setting, like you did, using some of your roots, what you grew up with. And then something that the pads could tolerate, wouldn't be too upsetting, you know, to, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
the Minutemen a couple times got thrown out during the sound check. You guys sound like that? Yeah.
Yeah, I've had the plug pulled on me before in Portland.
Okay.
Because it wasn't. Yeah, I mean, who knows what the reasons were for that, but I'm. You know, I got a pretty thick skin about that kind of thing at this point, for sure. I mean, I guess I've been lucky in that I don't do anything else particularly well, and that so to not play music. I mean, like I really don't know what else I would do if I didn't. So it's never been a question of whether I'm going to play music or not.
That's bad. What about this Tune Into the Water? Is this guy got some gospel?
It turned into that. It started out as I was just singing about the laundry, about I hope the laundry isn't clean because I'm not. So I'm hoping I wasn't throwing my old clothes into this. We don't really have a laundry hamper. We just throw shit right into the washer, right?
Yeah.
And so I was just worried that I was putting my dirty self into a nice clean.
Right. Okay. Let's listen.
Thank you. the sham. Wanna be let in here alone for a spell. Just to hold.
she could fly. She believed it up until the day she tried. Rock and roll could not control her folly life. But she always remembered right. Rubble and dust, the angels do not trust us anymore. She throws her arms around me and says, how I live matters more than what I believe. And she believes we're gonna meet forevermore, somewhere between the bar stool and the floor. Here's your hat, what's your hurry? Here's the door. In between the bar stool and the floor. Rubble and dust, the angels do not trust us anymore. From the dark end of back street, she's singing. Congregation feeds on bread and a rose at a rest stop somewhere south of Bend. You ask yourself, would you do it again? Let not and say we did. Spare the rod and spoil the gift. Rubble and dust, the angels do not trust us.
For Pedro Show, yeah, Into the Water, Drunken Prayer. And then Round Eye after that from Shanghai with God Doesn't Know. The Coat Hangers, Shut Up. I think two of them are Atlanta and one lives in Cali. And then two things from Croatia during the 80s. It sounded pretty close to Minutemen in some ways. Pretty trippy. Ti Danja from Sexa. And Mi Smo Zalutali. Sorry for shitty Croatian. From Torbakova, Krishne Beshi. And, you know, it's just trippy. We weren't aware of each other's at all. By the way, I just got some bad news from near there in Serbia. Great bass player I know named Koya. Brother Koya, he lost his partner. She's in the band, too. Disciplina Kichman. Incredible bass man. Beautiful cat, and he comes from the early 80s over there, and remember last time I played in Belgrade, I got to spend hours with him. He's an incredible cat. I can just imagine the sadness. So big love to you, Brother Koyo. And finally, Rubble and Dust from Drunken Prayer. Hey, Morgan, tell me how you recorded this out.
One room, not a whole lot of overdubs. And that particular song was done a little bit differently in that I had a couple of friends from Albuquerque, who play in the Handsome family, on steel guitar, Alex McMahon, and Greg Williams on drums. And I just sent them the acoustic guitar track, and they put that over it. And I did a little bit of editing, so there's no bass or anything on it, so it's pretty dry.
Was the one room in your pad?
The room is a friend of mine's little one room studio in his backyard here in town.
Well, let's give him credit. What does he call it?
Pot of Gold, the Pot of Gold.
Okay. What's his name?
His name is Brian Landrum. He runs Heyday Music here. He does he owns and runs this place, Heyday Music, that sells vintage guitars and amps, and he does the repairs on them. Okay. Yeah, and then we sent over to Mitch Easter, who he works with.
You know, I was going to ask about if there was any connect, because they're a little more west of you guys, right?
Yeah, he's about 2 hours from here, and so Brian and Mitch work together on different projects. And suggested that Mitch mix the record. It was a really good marriage there for the project. He was really fun to work with.
You know what? Speaking of which, Dexter lost his wife, right?
His sister, yeah.
Sister, that's it.
Yeah, she's an amazing drummer.
Yeah. Sorry, my memory sometimes. I heard about it a little while ago. You know, the last Minuteman gig was in North Carolina, in Charlotte.
Yeah, I just played there.
Yeah, it was in the second week of December, 85. My brain don't let me remember the day. Fuck it. But I remember I had to play guitar. Because, they already had Mike Mills playing. They brought us on stage. We were opening up for R.E.M. And so we did television, See No Evil. And I knew that lick. Even with the little strings, I still could do it. Couldn't hold a pick, but I still did it with T-Boone. It was a blue Rickenbacker that Pete let me play. So you got all the tracks together and then Mitch mixed them all. Okay. So.
Yeah.
But would you consider it produced by you or produced by him? Or is there a difference? What do you think?
You know, those lines are kind of blurred. It's not like getting songwriting credits where I guess I had the arrangements and the orchestrations and how I wanted it to go. And it was pretty much finished when we brought it to him, and he kind of glued it together. But he wasn't stepping forward with ideas. He would wait until if I had a question at some kind of crossroads, you know, what do we do here? He would put in his 2 cents worth, and I don't think I ever went against anything he said.
Yeah, but it sounds like you were kind of the producer.
Yeah, I guess.
There's nothing wrong with it. You know? Yeah. Like, sometimes I give drum ideas, but I don't get on the drum set.
Right.
I wish I could, though, Morgan. I wish I could. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, April 25, 2019, edition WAPPITO Show. Hold tight. Hour 3. April 25, 2019, it's the third hour. Watch for Pedro Show.
Until the death in you, I'm breaking up with you. watch a train. Hey, we'll rock and we'll roll. Mathematician's gold. And finally, rain dogs will have their day. I'm a telling her, time's a wasting, Mary Jane. Time's a wasting, Mary Jane. She said 09 was unkind to a gypsy heart like mine. Walking shoes tend to follow a wandering eye. Aye, aye, aye. The train run on time down the St. Charles Avenue line. Hearts will crawl when they fall for the running kind. I'm the running kind. Time's a wasting, Mary Jane. Time's a wasting, Mary Jane. It's lonely at the Saturn bar at a quarter to three. I wonder where you are. Easy go, little castle in the sand. Oh man, as the sun rose on St. Cloud that day, big easy dreams they had washed away. Where's that bird without a wire to land? I'm a toner. Time to waste in Mary Jane. Time to waste in Mary Jane. Time to waste in Mary Jane. You better believe what I say. Time to waste.
Wow, for Pedro Show, we start off the third hour with Four Leaf Clover. Drug Pre- Tell us about that one, Mark.
That was just a bunch of song ideas I had. Just I keep a notebook full of just stuff, and that one kind of threw together. I had that melody floating around my head for a couple of years, and just really wanted to make something out of it. It's kind of started off as more of like a Cajun thing. I was listening to a lot of Detroit Cobras at the time.
Oh yeah, great band.
And so it's kind of a marriage of to me it sounds like if the Cobras were playing Cajun music.
Yeah, I-75. Does it go through? No. Because you know there's a waste. Because Scotty, the Stooges drummer, lived in Sarasota, but he had a pad up in Drummond Island. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know I-75 like, goes from Detroit to Florida. It's trippy. So one of the, because we don't have a lot of diagonal interstate.
Right.
Then we heard Chris Chappelle's distortion pedal with Sacramento, Sactown. The interstate through you is I-40, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because that's kind of, when you get past Oklahoma City, that's the Route 66. Old days.
Which is a
crop surplus for national debt. Out of Idaho, you to pimp. Dan Francia with Planet Transit. Sun Rock, Birmingham. I think the Astro Man guy's got a new club in Birmingham called Saturn, which makes sense, Saturn Records. But springtime again, because people, it's springtime again. And then finally, Drunken Prayer with Mary Jane. Is this about Mota?
That's a friend of mine's name, Mary Jane, in Portland. And that's what I was just going through a real kind of dark period living in Portland. I was going through a breakup. And a lot of my songs go back to New Orleans, where I lived when I was a really small kid. And that's one just kind of just like wishing I could be anywhere than where I was. And so I kind of made up a place.
What, you know, you spent some, how long you spend there? Portland.
In New Orleans?
No, Portland.
In Portland, about 8 years, 7 or 8 years.
Because there's a little bit of rain involved.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that kind of can add to some sadness.
It can, but you know, I like the kind of grayscale out
okay.
there.
Okay.
It's never really minded that much. I think it was more of a distance thing, being so just physically far from everything I knew, just feeling kind of alone out there, whereas, you know, music's good for that, for kind of talking to yourself.
Oh, sure, of course. And the other thing about the wet, compared to, like, dry here, California, SoCal, like, yeah, mm-hmm. the pads aren't all full of mold. I mean, some are, but a little higher percentage up there.
Yeah.
But nothing wrong with
the rain
it. It's beautiful.
Away.
There's a lot of green, and I love it. You know. Richard Meltzer mm-hmm. lives in Portland a long time now. I want to play this tune here called The Mission Field, which I thought was a trippy title.
Hmm.
You want to tell me? You don't have to.
No, it's where I was living in Portland, I would be walking my dog, and I noticed that there's these signs facing inwards at the these churches that would say, "Smile, you're entering the mission field." And I always thought that was just an interesting thing as you're leaving the church and the rest of your... Just the rest of the world is a place where, I guess some people would be evangelizing. I saw it as more of
okay,
a...
okay, the mission. This is where
you do your work, which to me means just be a good person.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Not just when you're in church or whenever you're in your safe place. Do it when you're out, you know, on the subway, on the bus, when you're in a
Absolutely.
Different country.
That's why I get scared of that word normal. I like the good person. When they say normal person, what the fuck is that? You know, 1933 Nuremberg? You know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Things can be trippy, right? So listen to the mission field.
Field. Daddy was a dog and your mama was a storm. And when the rains came, a killer was born. Divide inhibition means you always got your way. The hand that's bleeding might stop beating you one day. So smile, you're entering the mission field. Now you are entering the mission field. Hurricane Katrina blew your mind halfway to hell. Police picked him up off of the streets of Slidell. So smile, you're entering the mission field. Now you are entering the mission field.
Thank you. said, smile, you're entering the mission field. Now you are entering the mission field. I said, smile.
Pepper is not a happy man. I want to be in your ass, I want to be up your ass. She came to my house in the morning and I fucked her in the ass, or considered calling. It's a good thing I didn't call her. My name, my number, my heart, my phone, my dick up her ass and we both need a piss. Hi, I'm Richard, make that art. And you can't have my current unlisted number, but you can always have my dick. If you peed right now, you would still have my dick. If you yellow the sheets, you will still have my dick. If you wee-weed the mattress, you'd still have it. Hey, and I hate mornings, I've got the aches and haven't even had a drink. And my heart is a beached whale on Zuma Mazuma Beach with spears running through it. But my dick still works sometimes.
I hate what they did to my town, so I moved to another town. I hate what they did to my town, so I moved to another town. I thought the change would do me good. Cordelia understood. The ghosts were creeping in on me and all my friends. And the house we grew up is not our home. Cordelia, elsewhere will I roam? I hate what they did to my town, so I moved to another town. I hate what they did to my town, so I moved to another town. God damn, I wanna be free. Cordelia, fetch my wings. Black cats are on the trail. A bit lonesome river will. The house where we live is not our home. Cordelia, I hate what they did to my town, so I moved to another town. This old house ain't gonna haunt itself.
Album came out of the election. It gave me something to write about.
Oh yeah, like a farmer might tell you, if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure.
Exactly. Yeah.
People, music for this edition, Mission Field, Drunken Prayer. We were talking off air about future Drunken Prayer, and Morgan was expressing a little doubt, but I'm going to try to get him enthusiastic. Art Pepper is not a happy man from Spielgusher, which is Richard Meltzer, who's been a Portland citizen now many years. Damien Gerardo, after that hotel hospital, AB Normal. We were talking about, that's fucking Phil up in Big Bear doing Achilles' Last Groove. And finally, Cordelia from Drunken Prayer. Cordelia, is that a lady's name?
It's a friend of mine's name that I kind of borrowed from her. Cordelia Elsewhere is the name of the record, and that's her name. And I've
that's right.
Yeah, so I kind of.
So it's part of the title.
Name from her.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you appropriated her person.
Right. And if she's listening, thank you very much.
Okay. Look, future drunken prayer.
Right. I'm going to try to get over to Europe or at least the UK and Ireland before too long. Then I've got about another record's worth of material to record when that settles down.
You should play some of this in Italy. Bring it to Italy.
I would love to.
I think they would love it, man. So do you have songs? You were talking about having a notebook. So do you always have like a buttload in reserve?
I wouldn't call it. There's not that much, but there's. I don't have a lot of leftover material. Almost everything gets used.
Okay.
So I've got probably another couple of albums I could record today if I had a gun to my head.
Okay. Well, I was thinking when this new thing that comes time to do, are you going to do something different than you did with this baby?
Yeah. Everyone, and it seems like everyone is different from the last one. I kind of go back and forth. The next one, I wouldn't mind kind of pulling back the reins a little bit and making it a little more like Rubble and Dust. Okay. But a lot of times, it's the material often just dictates what it's going to sound like. So I try not to get too married to one idea or the other.
And that's usually about what you're feeling right at that time as you're going to do, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because some of the songs are older, but how they get. Presented as in the moment for sure.
Sure. You mean you're talking like reinterpret?
Right. Yeah. I'll write something and it can sit around for a while, but depending on the mood that day, it can be drastically different than what the original idea was. It's usually just using the structure and the lyrics, and then just playing something off of that.
Yeah, that makes good sense. It keeps things dynamic, and you know, not just trotting out the whatever to the Trojan horse.
Yeah, trotting out the Genericana.
Marlon Blando. look, where can people find you on the internet?
The usual places. Drunkenprayer.com.
That's great. You have your own website.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with putting flyers on other people's telephone poles. I got no problem with that. But people only live... You got to have, right, because your own website is like your own fanzine.
Yeah, and also, and liner notes and all that. You know, I like going and reading people's lyrics and stuff like that, you know, while I'm listening to
it. But there's no filter, right? It's your site. You put on what, that's what, you go over to these other things, you're part of somebody else's, well, we're finding out now, you're being milked.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's the everything about this is DIY for this record, and everything right now with Drunken Prayer is. So if it's got Drunken Prayer's name on it, I've got my thumb on it somehow.
That's beautiful. It's very admirable and very inspiring that someone in a parallel universe has been riding shotgun with you. Maybe I got here on the thing a little before, maybe I leave a little before, but kindred spirit, Morgan, thank you so much for being on the show. Beautiful. My big honor for me. I want you to keep on keeping on, and when the new thing comes, please. Or if you're going to play Harold's Place again here in Peter, let me know.
I'll see you there.
Okay. People, it's been April 25, 2019 edition of Peter Show. Keep your powder dry.